On this solemnity of Christ the King, I thought it would be helpful just to spend a moment going over the history of the establishment of this solemnity 99 years ago, which makes it a relatively new feast day or solemnity in the church's calendar, and then to spend a few other more minutes on our gospel today, which tells us much about the kingship of Christ and how we as believers ought to approach it. Normally speaking, homilies like this usually surround the theme of fire and brimstone, the separation of the sheep and the goats, the separation from the wheat and the chaff, the wheat and the chaff, the end of the world. It's very apocalyptic. Even our first reading today from Daniel suggests as much. You'll notice today, however, our gospel is a very different angle on this solemnity. The confrontation between Pilate, who represents the height and power of the Roman Empire, and a simple carpenter, the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth. Before we get to that, just a word about the establishment of this solemnity in 1925. So next year we'll celebrate its centenary. This was established on this day by Pope Pius XI, 100 years ago, and if you consider what was happening, especially in the European continent, 100 years ago, it was a very, very tumultuous time. The continent had just emerged from the First World War, not aware that a Second World War was on its way. And rampant secularism and atheism was sweeping the continent. It spread even well beyond Europe, even in this hemisphere. People from Mexico know well this period of history where secularism and atheism and Marxism began to reign supreme. So the idea of this solemnity was Pius XI's recognition that attempting to thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of public life would result in continuing discord among people and nations. This solemnity reminds us that while governments come and go, Christ reigns as King forever. And this is where Pius XI really begins to help us understand what this kingship means. He writes, "Jesus must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to reveal truths and the doctrine of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls, or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, as instruments of justice unto God." A mighty task, we'd agree. Today's gospel focuses on a much more intimate reality regarding Christ's kingship, not so much about secularism and atheism per se, but we're presented with Jesus' trial before Pilate in the 18th chapter of John's gospel. It's a fascinating exchange, as I mentioned, between a man who represents the might and power of the Roman Empire, Pontius Pilate, versus a simple carpenter from Nazareth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that it is Jesus who is technically on trial, and yet it is Pilate who seems to be confounded and befuddled by how Jesus defends himself, inasmuch as he gives a defense. And note that our Lord does not beg or grovel Pilate for some mercy or type of clemency. He doesn't even ask him to spare his life. Rather, the Lord challenges Pilate to consider the very essence of what it means to exist, simply to be. You see, we know at its heart, our Lord's kingdom is not a political or military reality. The kingdom that Jesus speaks of begins in the human heart, the greatest drama that ever occurs in any of our lives. It's where there's a daily battle for our souls. Jesus' kingship is at war with the powers and snares of the devil. And every day, there are winners and losers in this war. There are casualties, there are mere survivors, and in the case of the saints, there are heroes. This is why Jesus defends himself by stating, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And what the Lord is telling us here is that his kingdom rests on truth. But remember here, truth is not an abstraction, but a person, the Lord himself. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is truth incarnate. And that means several important things for all of us as believers. For one, it means that truth, in a certain sense, then, is really outside of ourselves. It exists objectively, and whether or not we perceive it or agree with it does not change its value. Admitting this reality about the truth makes serious demands on us. We have to admit, with some level of humility, that we do not determine truth. God has done so. It demands that I realize that I don't define my own reality. It means that I need to be humble enough to recognize that God is great, much greater than myself, and that even what I believe as a Catholic is not even simply Catholic truth, but is actually the truth about the human person and the human condition. Of course, naturally, the truth demands that we speak with sincerity and avoid lying. It demands that we strive for chastity and purity. We're going to live according to the truth of the Lord, who is the truth. The truth about human life is that we protect the unborn and the aged. And without truth, we realize we cannot have true love. Love that is not rooted in truth is a bundle of emotions and sentiments as fickle as the weather in November. And now we've entered an age, sadly, where many people believe that who they are is the sum total of their feelings, a dangerous place in which to live. We also learn from Jesus' words that without truth, we cannot have peace. If there is no acknowledgement of what is right, then only might prevails. Pilate knew this well as a government official of the Roman Empire. And without truth, we cannot have joy. If joy is not rooted in truth, which comes from the outside and is much bigger than the individual, then the individual seeks to find joy within, in the pithiness and smallness of an individual heart or mind. Joy lies in the fruit of having discovered the truth, who is Christ, someone larger than ourselves, the one that we desire to be like, the Lord. Pontius Pilate, therefore, is the consummate opposite of Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Pilate is a relativist. He even asks, "What is truth?" For Pilate, he knows, actually, believe it or not, the truth about Jesus, that he's innocent. But Pilate is a coward. The truth about Jesus becomes for him whatever is expedient to keep the Jews from rioting. The relativist cannot accept that there is an objective truth apart from our subjective minds. For the relativist, everything depends on the culture, the environment, a situation, the persons involved, or consequences. And for the relativist, there's no objective right or wrong, just what you think is right or wrong, or even worse, what you feel. The relativist, you see, depends on popular opinion to decide morality. And that's not what true kingdoms or kings are made of. It's the stuff of cowardice. So inasmuch as this feast day asks us to consider the dimensions of public life and where Christ reigns or does not, it does beg us to take a hard and deep look within, to pray to know the Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And to the degree that we do or we don't live according to him who is the truth, then we can only find a certain measure of modicum of happiness in this life, and perhaps not even in the next. But this is, of course, the truth that liberates. It sets us free. And it sets us on the path for interior freedom, that no matter all the noise that we hear on the outside and all the commotion of the world and all of its exterior dysfunctionality, being connected to the Lord in truth will be the only real solution to bringing peace within each of us and in our society. Let us pray today that the Lord Jesus reigns in our hearts, that all who meet us know that it is he who must be loved above all others. It is he who will come at the end of time to judge the living and the dead. And if we live in the truth, that will not be a day of fear or despondency for any of us, but a day of liberating peace and joy. May he be praised both now and forever. Amen.